Let not your heart be troubled. You are listening to the Sean Hannity Radio Show podcast. All right, so I have insomnia, but I've never slept better. And what's changed? Just a pillow. It's had such a positive impact on my life. And of course, I'm talking about MyPillow. I fall asleep faster, I stay asleep longer, and now you can too. Just go to MyPillow.com or call 800-919-6090. Use the promo code Hannity, and Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, has the special four-pack. Now, you get 40% off two MyPillow premiums and two go-anywhere pillows. Now, MyPillow is made here in the USA, has a 60-day unconditional money-back guarantee, and a 10-year warranty. Go to MyPillow.com right now or call 800-919-6090, promo code Hannity, to get Mike Lindell's special four-pack offer. You get two MyPillow premium pillows and two go-anywhere pillows for 40% off, and that means once those pillows arrive, you start getting the kind of peaceful and restful and comfortable and deep healing and recuperative sleep that you've been craving and you certainly deserve. MyPillow.com, promo code Hannity. You will love this pillow. All right, glad you're with us. Write down our toll-free telephone number. You want to be a part of this extravaganza. It's 800-941-SHAWN if you want to be a part of the program. Well, it was interesting to see that two lawsuits have raised the possibility that Senator John McCain, a man who probably never heard of former President Reagan's 11th Commandment, was apparently involved in leaking the Trump dossier to the mainstream media. What a shocker. Lindsey Graham's out there, you know, wavering in the wind. He just wants to know that everything's going to go his way. Anyway, so glad you are with us. And write down 800-941-SHAWN, at Sean Hannity on Twitter, the Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled Twitter Army Brigade, if you want to be a part of the program. It's very interesting, some of the developments that we have now going on. There is the single greatest examples of media bias and disinformation and propaganda and distortion and outright lying by the Democratic Party and by your anti-Trump, destroy Trump media than we've ever seen before. And a lot of this goes into the Uranium One deal, where there is real Russia collusion. A lot of it goes into this whole issue of the Ukraine, and they've had far more, we have far more evidence of collusion. Frankly, it's incontrovertible, where the Ukrainians, working with the Hillary Clinton campaign and the DNC, with real meetings taking place, real information passed on, real collusion that occurred, and it had an impact on the race. Something after 11 months of black helicopter conspiracy theories, you don't have with the media narrative about Russia, Trump, Trump, Russia collusion, Russia, Trump and collusion. Then you got the whole Christopher Steele issue, and that's the Russian dossier, the hookers, urine. By the way, who even the guy paid for some of these interviews? Do you know that? That dossier was bought and paid for, and I'll explain that in a second. Or the fact if it's so bad for governments to be trying to influence elections. Now, by the way, the United States has done it in past years. They've done it in Latin American elections and other elections. Chile, you can go through the whole list of countries that we've tried to have a positive impact, usually trying to push more democratic rule for and freedom and liberty for people. And probably the intentions were the greatest. But it creates a lot of resentment. Let's be honest. If we're trying to influence other people's elections, we don't like it when people are influencing ours. But the Ukraine did. Obama set up this whole Victory 15 campaign to defeat our ally, our friend, one of our closest allies, Israel, and Prime Minister Bibi Benjamin Netanyahu. All of that happened. You know, and you know, I don't blame the president today, because the president's now picked up on it. And now the news media, you know, they're always so behind us. It's very entertaining to watch at times. But now that we have pointed out the truth about the Ukrainian issue and real collusion with that real evidence and real proof and real meetings and real information passed on and real dissemination of false information by a foreign government, well, now all of a sudden it's coming to life. And now all of a sudden the Democrats are going to have as many questions as everybody else. Just like I pointed out to you, the boomerang effect, as I call it, and all the pushing has now resulted in what? Okay, now I would argue James Comey is in a heap of legal problems. James Comey wanted his special counsel appointed, so he leaks information. Turns out the information, some of it, was classified. That's a violation of the Espionage Act and a violation of the Records Act. Because if it's classified information, violation 18 U.S. Code 793. If it's a violation of the Records Act, 18 U.S. Code, 641 or 3 or whatever the number is. So Donald Trump tweets out today, the president tweets out today, why aren't the same standards placed on Democrats? Look what Hillary Clinton may have gotten away with. Disgraceful. Now, what is he referring to specifically? He's referring to what we've been telling you about. What have we been telling you about? Well, the Politico, January 11th this year, headline, Ukrainian efforts to sabotage Trump backfire. It's sad that when you think of the thousands and thousands and thousands of hours of cable news time and network news time that was given to a story that still has no evidence of collusion. None. Well, what about the Donald Trump Jr. email, Hannity? Okay, Donald Trump Jr. was told that they might have information, and he took the meeting. And he said, in retrospect, this being pre-Rush, I wouldn't have taken the meeting. Whether you believe him or not. Okay, the woman, the lawyer from Russia that he met that was only allowed into the country, and Charles Grassley wants an answer to this, well, that woman corroborates everything Donald Trump says. The only thing he disagrees with was the extent to which she claims he was pushing her for the information that supposedly was predicated on the meeting. She only wanted to talk about adoption. And by the way, should we talk about why Obama let her in? Or the many pictures apparently that are existing out there, her Democrats? But we now know the Ukrainians. Okay, well, Hannity, they're our friends. You know, let me play, as we get this started, as before I tell you the story, let's start with Brian Williams and Andrea Mitchell. Now, this is spectacularly stunning, considering it's their network over at NBC News. Oh, did anyone see Joe Scarborough? It is so cringe-inducing. Oh, it's so... The monkey song that he played on Stephen Colbert, and with his... probably Meek is telling him to puff up his hair. It's so embarrassing. I'm like almost embarrassed for him. It's so bad. He needs a haircut desperately. And he's like, what, a 55-year-old wannabe rock star. It's humiliating, Joe, and your music sucks. It's so bad. The monkeys, I called the monkey song. Did you see the monkey song last night? So funny. Here's Andrea Mitchell, Brian Williams. They work at the Conspiracy Network. Thousands of hours of Trump-Russia collusion. They are unaware of how the Ukrainians helped the DNC and Hillary Clinton. Listen to this.
Andrea Mitchell, I said earlier, no public events for 3 days on the president's calendar. He leaves tonight for Paris for Bastille Day celebrations. But we've heard from the president again 3 minutes ago on Twitter. I'm hoping you can help me decipher this. Why aren't the same standards placed on the Democrats? Period. Look what Hillary Clinton may have gotten away with. Disgraceful. You want to take a whack at that?
I'm trying to figure it out myself. Earlier he called it a witch hunt, so he's still on the fake news or what the Democrats are doing, that combo. Perhaps this is a reference to email, since his son voluntarily tweeted out a whole email chain. Nobody was forcing him to do that other than the questions that were raised by the New York Times, and they said that they were about to reveal them themselves. So he voluntarily released his email, so perhaps it's an email reference, but it's hard to figure out what this is about.
Let the record show Andrew Mitchell's always game for a challenge, though sometimes the material leaves us with more questions than answers.
These people are so ignorant. It's spectacular to me how dumb they are. And especially, I guess the only news they watch is their own network. They're believing their own BS. their own propaganda, their own conspiracy theories. What the president, Brian and Andrea, was referring to, and Jake Tapper, I don't have time to play it now, he said, well, the Ukrainians helping Hillary is unimportant because she lost. That is the dumbest argument I've ever heard. If an outside entity, what's the whole collusion story about? Did an outside government try and influence the American election? Did they collude? Did they organize? Okay, let's go to the Politico. The whole 17-page story we'll put up on Hannity.com. Did you put it up yet? No. Okay, and the headline is Ukrainian efforts to sabotage Trump backfire. Kiev officials are scrambling after the election, they bet on the wrong horse, to make amends with the president-elect after quietly working to boost Clinton. It wasn't so quiet. It starts out, Donald Trump wasn't the only presidential candidate whose campaign was boosted by officials from a former Soviet bloc country. Well, there's no evidence of any collusion. And with this Russian lawyer, there's still no evidence of any collusion, any information passed back and forth. Then it goes on, Ukrainian government officials tried to help Hillary Clinton undermine Trump by publicly, they did things, oh, they were colluding, hang on, we'll get to that, by publicly undermining Trump and questioning his fitness for office. They also, meaning the Ukrainians, disseminated documents implicating a top aide in corruption and suggested they were investigating the matter. After the election, they backed away. And, quote, from the Politico, they helped Clinton's allies research damaging information on Trump and his advisor. Wait a minute. A Ukrainian-American operative. Oh, who's consulting during the election for the Democratic National Committee. There actually was a meeting. And she met with top officials at the Ukrainian embassy in Washington. Where, is this treason? If we're going to talk to Tim, how is this different except they got information? They got assistance. It's the evidence is right here. There was collusion. Anyway, it goes on, but they met in the embassy, the DNC woman, and the Ukrainians to expose ties between Trump and Manafort and Russia. The Ukrainian efforts had an impact on the race. Okay, helping Manafort's resignation. That's the campaign manager. They advanced the narrative that Trump's campaign was deeply connected to Russia. But they were far less concerted or centrally directed, blah, 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 blah. Now, here's the thing. The Politico investigation found Ukrainian government involvement appears to strain diplomatic protocol dictating governments refrain from engaging in one another's elections. Then it goes on to say the Ukrainian antipathy or hatred for Trump's team and their alignment with Clinton's team. And they go back to explain that it goes back to 2013. And then the woman that worked for the DNC, Alexander Chalupa, oh, she's the Donald Trump Jr. in this case, except she got information and she had worked in the Clinton White House and she was a paid DNC staffer, made $412,000. Anyway, she occasionally, now listen to this, she shared her findings from the DNC and with the Ukrainian government, with officials from the DNC and the Clinton campaign. Ding, 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 ding. Hello? Tick, 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 tock. You know what that means? Collusion. It actually happened. It occurred in the same election, in the same campaign, and it's not the only example. And I'll give you the others when we get back. 800-941-SEAN. Hey, with optimism once again on the rise in America, the working people of this country are more important than ever. Well, now they have a podcast that celebrates them and tells their stories. On the Job, From Hired to Retired. Well, it's a new podcast from our friends at Express Employment Professionals that digs into the lives of men and women at work and explores their journeys as they fight to make the American dream a reality. On the Job takes the listener through the ups and downs of making a living in America. Now check out the new podcast, On the Job, From Hired to Retired, on iHeartRadio, iTunes, or wherever you download your favorite podcasts. Or just go to expresspros.com/podcast for more information. Why are you all in there making me... What is the name of this stupid song of Scarborough?
Monkey House.
Are you from the Colbert Show last night? I mean,
Monkey
sucking
house.
Up. By the way, he left the Republican Party. Oh, okay.
I have to play because Lauren can't
if a tree,
breathe.
If a tree falls in the forest, does anybody care? Does anybody hear it? All right, go play a little of it. All right, it's so stupid. Yeah, what is he, 60 years old? And what's with the dopey hair?
And the Hawaiian shirts.
What does he think, he's Johnny Rotten?
Welcome to the Monkey House.
The Monkey House.
Everybody's a little where me and Mika live.
He's talking about MSNBC.
That's what happens when you get engaged and you work at MSNBC.
Yeah, exactly.
Start writing songs about monkeys.
Isn't there a certain cringe worthiness?
Oh, man, it's too funny. It takes away all the cringe. It's so funny.
Monkey House. Oh, baby. Time to swing and shout. Wow. He sounds like the monkeys.
Get over here, Mika.
Yeah,
I'll make
exactly.
A woman out of you yet.
Oh. All right, I can't take it. You got to put it on.
Oh, just getting to the bridge,
no,
boss.
Forget the bridge, whatever you call. You know, the guy claims, I saw in an article, he claimed he wrote like 600 or 800 or whatever, however insane number of songs. How did this make it into the second release from his stupid album? I mean, the first one was the anti-Trump's creed song that he wrote. And this is the best we've got. Did you see the hair? What? I mean, did Mika tell him that, like, that looks good or something?
They have the same haircut. I don't know.
I'm looking at him and his haircut. Yes. Will you stop now?
I can't
will
even
you stop?
Breathe.
I am not responsible
laughing.
For every crazy thing you say on the show.
No, you are not.
I really am not. I'm not really, because I don't even have control of your microphone, which I need to get control of. I don't even know what to say. I'm watching, you know, when
say
somebody.
Monkey House.
Okay. If you're 50, what is he, 5'6"? All right, stop. Put it off. I can't take it. Put it off.
You're never too old to dream.
I mean, what is it? This like a fantasy, you know, did he go to like rock and roll fantasy camp and think that, you know, he can hire a bunch of backup singers to make him sound not god awful as he is?
And cowboy hats.
Yeah.
This is all so wrong.
It was so... And by the way, so Colbert introduced him. It was pretty funny. He goes, by the way, this is where Elvis Presley and the Beatles play. Joe, you're not Elvis and you're not the Beatles.
Oh, man.
We'll continue.
Let's start with the emails. Yeah. Let's start with the first email. First of all, let's talk about who is Rob Goldstone.
Rob Goldstone is a talent manager for Emin Argalov, who's a Azerbaijani Russian singer that performed at Miss Universe and later performed at the WGC Championship golf course tournament that we held at Doral.
All right, so do you know...
I met him through the golf course. I wasn't even at the Miss Universe pageant, but I met him throughout there, so I had a casual relationship
with him. Okay, so he sends you this email. We'll put it back up on the screen and give you a chance to look at this. This is the one that says the Crown Prosecutor of Russia met with his father, meaning Emin's father, and in their meeting offered to provide the Trump campaign with documents, information that could incriminate Hillary Clinton, etc. Obviously highly sensitive information, but as part of Russia and its government support of Mr. Trump. And then they asked the best way to handle this. This email comes in. What are you thinking?
Honestly, my takeaway when all of this was going on is that someone has information on our opponent. You know, things are going a million miles an hour. You know what it's like to be on a campaign. We just won Indiana, but we're talking about a contested convention. Things are going a million miles an hour again. And, hey, wait a minute. I've heard about all these things, but maybe this is something. I should hear them out.
Okay. When you read the parts about the Russian government or Russia supporting your father, did that put off any sirens in your head?
Honestly, I don't know. I mean, I think this was, again, just basic information that was going to be possibly there. I didn't know these guys well enough to understand that if this talent manager from Miss Universe, you know, had this kind of thing. So I wanted to hear him out and play it out and see what happens. But, you know, people are trying to reach out to you all the time with this.
All right, 24 till the top of the hour. That was part of my exclusive interview last night with Donald Trump Jr. You know, I was telling Linda, I actually said it on the air last night, I'm a talk show host. I get to maybe 5% of what I bring into this program every day. I mean, I should just take a picture of the studio. Now, I've got 1, 2, 3. I got 5 computers in front of me. We got two television sets in front of me. And, no, of course I'm not watching NBC. No. Fox and Fox Business and Fox Business and Fox. That's what I watch. And, yeah, occasionally we'll watch C-SPAN if something's going on. But, I mean, I try and stay away from, well, who put on CNN? Somebody put on CNN in my studio. And long story short, there's a lot of room here and in my studio when I do the show to lay my papers out. And I have piles based on topics. And that's how I do it, with a lot of research in them and a lot of notes on the side, you know, things that cross my mind as I'm preparing the show every day. And I never run out of things to say, ever. I was out of questions for Donald Trump Jr. last night. I was just done. Had nothing else to ask him. And I know that the left is never going to believe him. And this was, okay, you read what it said. His story corroborated by the lawyer who was brought into the country by Obama after she was denied access to the country. And I've got a picture. Where was it? I guess Gateway Pundit, of her with a prominent Obama Democrat. And one has to ask, okay, well, why is she here? Well, it's obvious. I think she was advancing the whole issue of the act to allow adoptions, the Magnitsky Act, to allow adoptions of Russian children. Okay, that's important to them. You know, there's a poll out today, fake news, Democratic media. It was a great moment with Allison Camerota. I like Allison Camerota. She, you know, used to work at the Fox News Channel, and he does the morning show over now at CNN. But I watch Fox and Friends. That's the show I watch in the morning. And I did today watch the networks because they spent 20 minutes on my interview, which is hilarious. I love the fact that what they didn't cover is the 10-minute monologue I did at the beginning of the program, beating the crap out of them over Ukraine, over Victory 15, over the dossier and Christopher Steele and all of these issues that they ignore. And if they cared about real crimes, they would be talking about, oh, okay, Hillary Clinton's crimes. And they would be talking about, you know, a whole bunch of issues. They'd be talking about James Comey and the Espionage Act and James Comey and the Records Act and Hillary Clinton and the Uranium One deal and mishandling and destroying classified information and 125 leaks in 126 days, seven times that of the two previous administrations. And they'd be talking about Loretta Lynch and the tarmac and it's a matter, not an investigation, and Sarah Carter's report that she had put the kibosh on any possible Hillary indictment. Now, I'm predicting all of this is now going to come back into play. Now, whether the media likes it or not, I am going to stay on all of these issues. And my goal is to make sure everybody understands what Obama tried to do to Prime Minister Netanyahu and impact his election and get him defeated. I'm going to try and let everybody in America know about this MI6, former MI6 intelligence officer in Great Britain and what he did, and I'll get to that in a second. And I want the dossier about hookers urinating in a bed in a Ritz-Carlton in Moscow and how he was paying people for this. I want everybody to know the intimate details of the Ukrainian story. And I'm going to point out that everything that the Democrats are actually saying about Trump and Russia in collusion with no evidence after all of these months is totally applicable to what Democrats have done. And I think that's something we're uniquely qualified to do. We're going to start tonight on Hannity on the Fox News Channel. But putting this aside, fake news media, they're spending virtually every single broadcast hour lying and propagandizing you over this Trump-Russia non-scandal. And a new poll by the Huffington Post News shows that Russiagate is barely on the radar screen of the people in this country. They don't give a rip. They've heard it ad nauseum. And except for the few million people that like Rachel Maddow and her bizarre black helicopter theories and tinfoil hat conspiracy theories, nobody else cares. Only 9% of Americans rank Trump's relationship with Russia as one of the issues most important to them. 49% say health care is among their top issues. 37% name the economy as one of their top issues. And behind health care and the economy, 21% rate immigration as their top concern. Well, those are the three things I keep saying they need to get done in Congress before the end of this year. They're so lazy and disgustingly ineffective. So that's what the people seem to care about. You have a leaked email. Aaron Klein wrote this story, leaked email from Hillary's 2016 presidential campaign, previously published by WikiLeaks, may take on a new significance because it relates to the key issues brought up in the media reports about Donald Trump Jr. and meeting with a Russian lawyer. But anyway, in correspondent, which has not yet received media attention and remains, you can look on the WikiLeaks archives, we find out that Jesse LaRich, who's a Clinton campaign foreign policy spokesman, member of the campaign's rapid response communication team, writes that the campaign killed a Bloomberg story attempting to link Clinton's opposition to the anti-Russian legislation known as the Magnitsky Act, that's the adoption one, to a speech that Bill Clinton delivered in Moscow for $500,000. Oh, isn't that nice? Isn't that nice? Anybody in the media going to pick up on that? By the way, so let me just go back to what really is the difference here. And back, so we have this DNC operative who worked in the Clinton White House, paid by the DNC, who now did collude with the Ukrainians, that the Ukrainians were up to their eyeballs in digging up and disseminating false information on Donald Trump and the campaign, and literally doing research for the DNC and the Clinton campaign. And all of this is now chronicled, that they publicly questioned Trump's fitness for office. They disseminated documents implicating some of Trump's team, suggesting that they were doing the investigation for the Clinton campaign. You have a meeting that took place at the Ukrainian embassy in Washington. She was consulting for the DNC at the time, and the Ukrainian government and the involvement in this race is almost overwhelming and incontrovertible. And how the DNC operative that's being paid by the DNC, quote, would share her findings with officials from the DNC and the Clinton campaign. Miss Angela Chalupa lady. Oh, okay. So that actually took place. I can't believe it. How many of you know, I tweeted this out yesterday, that WikiLeaks had leaked information. Oh, I don't like WikiLeaks. Okay. Excuse me. They'd never been proven wrong in 11 years. That shows Hillary Clinton's campaign discussed a private off-the-record meeting with the Chinese ambassador. Oh, was that to collude too? Should we be investigating, putting under oath? Should we accuse, you know, all of these same people of the very things they're saying about Donald Trump Jr.? Do you realize all of the double standard? It's nauseating on so many different levels. On top of it, any attorney, including, let's say, Jonathan Turley and Alan Dershowitz, Greg Jarrett, my colleague at Fox, who's going to join us later, he did a great job on this, all telling the same story. Oh, excuse me. Yeah, there's no collusion, and it's not a crime. None whatsoever. You know, it is a huge double standard, and it's not the only double standard. And there's so many other cases of the Democrats acting this way. But it doesn't seem to matter to anybody in the news media because they've got an agenda and they're passing their agenda no matter what. The Russian lawyer who torpedoed Trump Jr. met with Obama officials. Does anybody care about that? She's seated in the front row directly behind the former Ambassador McPaul at the House Foreign Affairs Committee. That picture is in existence. Dershowitz, nothing illegal in Trump Jr.'s meeting with a Russian lawyer. On the Russian lawyer's Facebook page, she puts in all the things that she's been interested in, and why did she get the exemption? It's another big issue. And, you know, what did Hillary know about Russian interference? It's another question we have yet to get answered in all of this by anybody that has any knowledge of anything. Because it's all one big propaganda, misinformation, lying conspiracy. It has been and continues to be a witch hunt. It's the only way to describe it. What else can you possibly call this? You know, is there anything in any way that we're looking at here that, you know, I'll give you an example. I mean, Tim Kaine suggesting, well, that's treason. Well, did Chalupa commit treason, meeting with the Ukrainians? and then disseminating that information to the DNC? It's preposterous that Donald Trump Jr. did. U.S. isn't at war with Russia, and they're not at war with the Ukraine. Even if the president's son received information from Russia, it's not treason as the statutory law defines it and as the Constitution defines it. Oh, he's guilty of collusion. There's no such crime relating to political campaigns. The only thing that they can cite, and I noticed they tried this little trick on TV this morning, is that they try to cite a Federal Election Campaign Act as a means of, well, that, you know, no campaign can solicit and or receive foreign donations. It's prohibited. As if that's a criminal statute, which it is not. Is information a thing of value? One could attempt to make the argument, but, you know, it hasn't been interpreted that way. It's never been interpreted that way. And election laws are rarely, if ever, subject of criminal prosecution. And the vast majority of the cases are civil violations resulting in a fine at best, which is all they could probably hope for here. You know, it's these are amazing times we're living in. I can tell you that. They really are amazing times. And I don't know if this is going to change anytime soon. I just think this goes on forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. I just don't see when the Democrats stop in any of this. You know, there was a great piece out by my good friend Rowan Scarborough, and Rowan Scarborough writes for the Washington Times, and I just thought he was dead on accurate, as he usually is. And, you know, he's talking about a Washington Times piece where he goes on to explain the difference how Democrats intentionally use disinformation from Russia to attack the Trump campaign. And in this case, he's talking about the dossier that was put out there, and the disinformation came in the form of all of that from the dossier. It's a phony dossier, and it was paid for in part by this Christopher Steele guy, who was the former intelligence agent in Great Britain, and how Steele makes clear that his unproven charges came almost exclusively from sources linked to the Kremlin and Vladimir Putin, and he identified his sources as senior Russian foreign ministry figures and a top-level Russian intelligence officer. And the same Democrats who have condemned Russia's election interference via, you know, plying fake news and hacking email servers. In other words, is public evidence of collusion between the Democrats and Russian disinformation. Because if anyone colluded with the Russian, it was the Democrats. Why is that? Because, well, of course, this goes back to the Fusion GPS story, and the entire dossier should never have been made public. And Fusion GPS, a Democratic front group, was responsible for all of it. 800-941-SHAWN is our number. You want to be a part of the program. All right, when we come back, Sarah Carter, Greg Jarrett, Jay Sekulow, all coming up in the next hour, the News Roundup Information Overload. We'll have more of my exclusive interview with Don Trump Jr. and your calls, 800-941-SHAWN. Glad you're with us.
Let's go into the meeting. Mm-hmm. All right, so you meet at Trump Tower.
Yes.
Okay, the meeting was described earlier today on the Today Show.
Mm-hmm.
Did she describe accurately?
I think fairly accurately. I mean, I was a little taken back by her saying, you know, talking about me pressing for the information. But as you can see from the emails, the pretext of the meeting was, hey, we have information. And there was, you know, some small size. I don't even remember what it was. It just was sort of nonsensical, inane and garbled. And then quickly went on to, you know, a story about Russian adoption and how we could possibly help. And really, that's where we shut it down, which is, wait a second. What does this have to do with?
Did you even know what the McGinty Act was?
I'd never even heard of it before, you know, that day. You know, I think it became pretty apparent to, you know, Jared and Paul, who I think Jared left after a few minutes. Paul got in
the
phone.
She said that. Yeah.
Yeah, this
you
is her account.
Paul
I do remember
phone?
That. Yeah, we were all there. I was basically sitting there listening as a courtesy to my acquaintance who had set up the meeting. And, you know, in his own words, you can hear what he said, and you played it earlier, about it. I mean, he apologized to me walking out of the meeting basically for wasting my time.
Well, and he did say at the end of your statement today, you did point out, as Goldstone said today, the entire meeting was the most inane nonsense I've ever heard. And I'm actually, you know, agitated by it.
Yeah, listen.
And he called and apologized to you?
There wasn't really follow-up because there's nothing there to follow up. But as we were walking out, he said, listen, I'm sorry for that. But I think what happened, he sort of goosed up. He built up. There was some puffery to the email, perhaps to get the meeting, to make it happen. And, you know, in the end, there was probably some bait and switch about what it was really supposed to be about. And so, you know, there is nothing there.
All right, that was more of my exclusive interview with Donald Trump Jr. in what has become a media hysterical. Yeah, it's unbelievable the double standard that exists, especially as it relates to what we now know about the Ukrainian efforts to sabotage Donald Trump in the last election and how they work with the DNC and with Hillary Clinton's campaign at a pretty high level, trying to not only get damaging information and do investigative work for them, but also a meeting that took place and a Ukrainian-American operative who works for and consulted with the DNC actually meeting top officials at the Ukrainian embassy, all in an effort to expose ties between Trump and his campaign and Russia. And, you know, we now have evidence of Ukrainian government involvement trying to impact the election. And there's been little to no coverage, but for the Politico and a few other places, about what actually went on here and how deep this was and how the DNC paid this woman, Alexandra Chalupa, who worked in the Clinton White House and was working for the DNC at the time, you know, making $412,000 over a period of years. But she occasionally was sharing all of her findings with the Ukrainian government, with DNC officials and Clinton campaign officials, and said that, you know, when it came to the Trump campaign, I felt there was a Russian connection and she was working with them almost on a daily basis. And she's meeting with the Ukraine's ambassador to the U.S., among other things. And as she claims and tried to downplay all of these relationships and meetings, they in fact took place. But you hear very little to nothing about it. Anyway, Hour 2, Sean Hannity Show, 800-941-SEAN is our number. Sarah Carter is a senior editor at Circa.com. Greg Jarrett is a Fox News legal analyst and attorney who's been all over all of these issues. Welcome both of you back to the program.
Nice to be here.
Thank you.
All right, let me start with the first legal question. I'll throw it to you, Greg Jarrett. I hope you watched Don Jr. last night. And is there anything at all, in any way, shape, matter, or form, legally, that he has to worry about?
Absolutely nothing. He acquitted himself nicely. You asked all the right questions. He responded appropriately. As to treason, that's preposterous. We're not at war with Russia, so that's just a silly accusation by Senator Tim Kaine and some others. As for collusion, there is no such crime of collusion in a political campaign. It's only antitrust law. There is a sort of a tangential law that says you can't conspire with somebody else to obstruct a government function, i.e. an election. But when you read the statute, that requires deceit and dishonesty. Simply receiving information doesn't constitute those two things. So that doesn't apply. And finally, the Federal Election Campaign Act. You know, foreigners are not allowed to donate to campaigns. But providing information specifically under the law, it is not a donation. It's called a personal service. And in fact, foreign nationals are allowed to volunteer their personal services to American campaigns. They do it all the time.
It's interesting you bring all this up, because I was watching some of the morning shows this morning, and they all opened with my interview with Donald Trump Jr., and it was hard to watch Jay Sekulow on CBS, NBC, and ABC at the same time. I tried, but it wasn't possible. And I was watching a lot of this, they were trying to cite or suggest the way they cited the FEC Campaign Act, Greg, you know, soliciting, receiving foreign donations, prohibited. They tried to make it sound like it's a criminal act and it's not a criminal code issue.
No, it's not. Look, campaign election laws are rarely the subject of criminal prosecutions, only when it involves things like money laundering and embezzlement. So the vast majority of cases are just, as you point out, Sean, civil violations resulting in fines. But again, both Trump Jr. and the Russian lawyer agree no information related to the presidential campaign was ever conveyed. And so that makes that statute totally inapplicable.
All right, now let's go, Sarah, if we can, to this whole issue with the Ukrainians, the DNC, the Hillary Clinton campaign. And I think one of the main things that we've got to focus on here is that all of the work, research, and meetings that went on by this DNC operative was being paid by the DNC, and her sharing her findings with the DNC and the Clinton campaign, it sounds far more extensive case of collusion directly related to the Clinton campaign and the DNC to defeat Donald Trump and impact our elections than any information we have to date about the conspiracy theories we've now heard for 11 months.
Sean, yeah, you have a point there. I mean, this is what we're looking at. We have seen what Don Jr.'s brought forward. He put all of his emails out there. He didn't get anything from this. And I think that in itself is a point. If you think about this, there was no information gained on his part to do anything. I mean, so then that kind of excludes the Russian government, because why would the Russian government try to create this big scenario to give Don Jr. information? I think it was more of a bait and switch. I mean, she kind of went, you know, he was kind of set up to go hear what information he was going to get on Hillary. But it was a thing that she was lobbying for. She came in. I think that's a big question. How did she get into the country? What was this, you know, special parole she received, and who gave it to her? I think that's a question that's going to answer a lot of things. If we get that answered, it's going to answer a lot of our questions. And when you look at Ukraine in and of itself, I mean, the DNC was looking for information on President Trump, going to the Ukrainians, going to Ukrainian government officials. We saw what Chalupa did. She was looking for this information. She was going to bring it back, you know, to the DNC. So if you look at both sides, there's far more evidence that the DNC was working and trying to get information from foreign governments to, you know, as their oppo research and to go after Trump. I think if you look at both ends, if you're looking at both sides of this, there's no real collusion anywhere. People were just looking for information to go against their opponents. And I haven't spoken to anyone yet who said that, including Dr. Richard Painter, who is not a fan of President Trump. But, you know, he's been out there saying it, that this does not appear in any way, shape or form to be collusion.
What are your thoughts on the Ukrainian issue, Greg Jarrett?
Well, it's hypocrisy at its worst among the media. They pay no attention to the fact that Alexander Chalupa used the Ukrainian embassy reportedly to gather dirt on the Trump campaign. Where's the outrage? Where's the equivalency? It doesn't exist. And that underscores the media bias against President Trump, the unabashed scorn and visceral hatred they have for the president, and the, you know, empathy for Hillary Rodham Clinton. And they have largely ignored the story that was first broken more than 2 years ago by the New York Times about how cash flowed to the Clinton Foundation after Hillary Clinton led the way for the uranium one Russian deal, a quid pro quo, if ever there was one. And that, to me, smacks of a crime. And yet, you know, nobody seems to pay any attention to that.
I actually feel, Sarah, along with you and Greg and occasionally John Solomon, I mean, we're not going to put him in this group, and Jay Sekulow, that we're like voices in the wilderness here. It's so evident, so transparent. It's the evidence is so incontrovertible, as Greg is pointing out in the Uranium One deal, $100 million kickback plus $1 million kickback by the principals involved in that deal, and giving a waiver, one of nine, but giving a waiver, you know, to allow Vladimir Putin to have as much as access to 20% of our uranium is insanity to me. And
well, Sean, it is. I mean, there's a lot of questions that people are still asking about this. I mean, the deal went through, it was passed, it was approved, but there's still a number of questions surrounding how the deal was approved. What was going on the backside? The increase in speaking fees that went to former President Bill Clinton when he went to Russia after that deal was already struck. And there's a lot of questions. People within the FBI have similar questions that were working on these investigations. They were concerned about the fact that none of this came forward, and you're right, there was no special prosecutor, no special investigation into anything that had to do with Hillary Clinton, despite the fact that a number of questions hadn't been answered and a number of people were very, very concerned within law enforcement. So I think just because, you know, John and I have brought out these stories, but remember, Politico also brought out the story on Alexandra Chalupa. I mean, they were the ones that first reported that, that brought that forward. But you're right, very few people and very few media outlets picked that up and even discussed it.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back more with Sarah Carter, senior editor, Circa.com. Greg Jarrett, my friend and colleague at the Fox News Channel, legal analyst. All right, as we continue, Sarah Carter, senior editor, Circa.com, Greg Jarrett, my friend, colleague from the Fox News Channel. And one of the things we're trying to point out here, who was this woman Chalupa? Because, you know, a lot of people don't know who she is. Now, she was paid by the DNC. She was a consultant for them. She worked in the Clinton White House, and she was sharing these findings as she met with people at the Ukrainian embassy in Washington with the campaign. Clearly, the Ukrainian government was trying to help Hillary, not Donald Trump, and this story is barely covered. You have talked a lot about this woman in the past, and you seem to know a lot about her, Sarah Carter.
Well, she's a Ukrainian-American. I don't know. I know as much as I know about. I've never met with Alexandra Chalupa, but she's a Ukrainian-American, and she was working as a consultant for the Democratic National Committee, and that's what we know. And so she was really pushing and advocating for the Ukrainians. And remember, at this point in time, Ukraine was really looking for a partner, somebody to kind of push against Russia's breach of what they felt were their, you know, their borders, their livelihood, their solidarity. And they thought that they could find that in Hillary Clinton. So, you know, it was a big advantage for them. You know, people talk about Russia having this great advantage in Trump. There was no real big advantage for Russia because, in all honesty, Vladimir Putin really didn't know how Trump was going to play out, especially in foreign policy. It was a guessing game for him. I mean, he knew what he knew about Hillary Clinton, but he didn't know a lot about Trump. One thing's for sure, though, the Ukrainians felt that they could rely on Hillary to supply them with military aid and financial aid in Ukraine. So that is why they were pushing so hard for her. And, you know, it wasn't just her. There were other councils involved, different groups, think tanks.
I mean, there was real collusion here. I mean, there's no other way to put it. There was real evidence of collusion, and yet we barely know about it. The American people haven't heard about it because of the media bias. What about these other issues, Greg Jarrett? We only have about a minute left. You know, the V15 group using State Department dollars, Obama's effort to unseat Prime Minister Netanyahu, or the Christopher Steele, the former intelligence officer from Great Britain, and the phony dossier that was discredited, and who was paying him, and why did James Comey want to pay the guy and put him on the payroll, and the Uranium One deal. All these issues of outside influence barely ever talked about in the mainstream media. How are they similar to what is being alleged with no evidence in the Trump-Russia collusion insanity?
Yeah, they're totally similar, and except for the Uranium One deal, which looks to me like a crime. All of these other things are not specifically prohibited by law. Maybe someday they will be, but they're not. And look, one has to understand that we try to interfere with foreign elections all the time. And of course, foreign governments are forever trying to influence our elections. The key here is that on election day, no ballots were changed. No machines were hacked, and the voting wasn't unduly influenced on election day.
Yeah.
You know, is information passed between individuals and foreign government? Of course.
All the time.
That happens all the time.
All right,
it makes us wake up and grow up.
We're going to have both of you on Hannity tonight, 10 Eastern, on the Fox News Channel, Newt Gingrich as well, and we're going to talk about and lay out all of the duplicity and the double standard in the media and in certainly in Washington and elsewhere. Thank you both, Sarah Carter and Greg Jarrett, 800-941-SEAN. You want to be a part of the program. When we come back, we have the chief counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice and the counsel to the president, Jay Sekulow. He'll respond to the Donald Trump Jr. interview last night. We'll talk to him about this double standard with Ukraine and V15 and all these other issues. And we'll get to your calls in our news roundup information overload hour straight ahead. All right, as we continue, let's play more from last night and Don Jr. and answering questions about, you know, whether or not he can't help if somebody sends him an email, and I'd never put the country in jeopardy, and no follow-ups with the Russian lawyer. Let's play that tape.
Let's start with the emails. Let's start with the first email. First of all, let's talk about who is Rob Goldstone.
Rob Goldstone is a talent manager for Emin Argalov, who's a Azerbaijani Russian singer, who performed at Miss Universe and later performed at the WGC Championship golf course tournament that we held at Doral.
All right, so do you know?
I met him through that, through the golf course. I wasn't even at the Miss Universe pageant, but I met him through out there, so I had a casual relationship
with him. Okay, so he sends you this email. We'll put it back up on the screen and give you a chance to look at this. This is the one that says the Crown Prosecutor of Russia met with his father, meaning Emin's father, and in their meeting offered to provide the Trump campaign with documents, information that could incriminate Hillary Clinton, etc. Obviously highly sensitive information, but as part of Russia and its government support of Mr. Trump. And then they asked the best way to handle this. This email comes in. What are you thinking?
Honestly, my takeaway when all of this was going on is that someone has information on our opponent. You know, things are going a million miles an hour. You know what it's like to be on a campaign. We just won Indiana, but we're talking about a contested convention. Things are going a million miles an hour again. And, hey, wait a minute. I've heard about all these things, but maybe this is something. I should hear them out.
Okay. When you read the parts about the Russian government or Russia supporting your father, did that put off any sirens in your head?
Honestly, I don't know. I mean, I think this was, again, just basic information that was going to be possibly there. I didn't know these guys well enough to understand that if this talent manager from Miss Universe, you know, had this kind of thing. So I wanted to hear him out and play it out and see what happens. But, you know, people are trying to reach out to you all the time with this.
Let me ask a hypothetical, and I hate hypothetical questions, but I think it's relevant in this case. Mm-hmm. If the meeting resulted in information that you felt in any way was illegal, mm-hmm. or compromising, or collusion, to use the media's term?
I said it earlier, 100%, I would bring it to the proper authorities. There's nothing that I would do to ever endanger this country. I think the reason we fought so hard during this campaign, whether it was my father and the work that he put into it, whether it was the rest of our family and the efforts that we put into it, and you know those efforts well, it's because we'd do anything for this country, so we're never going to put that in jeopardy, ever.
So this, as far as you know, are all the emails that exist on this case, and you don't think there's any other one?
I do not think there's anything else. We've scoured it thoroughly, just to be sure, but there isn't anything else there.
All right, and there was no follow-up. I think this is important. No follow-up with any of them. Never heard from the woman
again. It was such a nothing, there was no reason to follow up. It was a waste of time.
All right, joining us now, the chief counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow, and also counsel for the president. Overall, your reaction to the interview with Don Jr. last night, and more importantly, and you were on right afterwards, the issue of legality, and then we'll get into the whole double standard issue.
Sure. Well, first of all, I thought you did a great job in asking the really tough and comprehensive questions, and nothing left unturned in that regard. That's number one. Number two, I thought Donald Trump Jr.'s responses were excellent. He acknowledged areas where he would do things differently looking back, but he also pointed out that this was in the moment of a campaign, in the middle of a presidential campaign. The question that, you know, some of the media followed up with later, and you handled and asked about, you know, why didn't you talk to your father about this meeting? To talk to him about what meeting? The meeting didn't produce any results on anything. So, you know, when you have you can't imagine how many of these they had in the course of the campaign. So I think he handled himself well. I thought his statements were well received. And unlike Hillary Clinton, who deleted 33,000 emails, he put all of his out there.
Well, I mean, it's not a small distinction here. Now, the president, one of the things I've been focused on pretty heavily today, the president tweeted out today, why aren't the same standards placed on Democrats? And look what Hillary may have gotten away with. And he's referring to the Ukrainian government and DNC officials collaborating and the Ukrainian government putting out disinformation, doing research and meetings that took place at the Ukrainian embassy and all the information passed on to Hillary Clinton's campaign and the DNC.
You know, it's so interesting about that. So I did a lot of interviews this morning on this topic for the as reference counsel for the president. And what was so interesting in one of the interviews, the host said, well, when I brought up the Ukrainian situation, he goes, well, that was different because that was the Ukraine and this is Russia, as if a different legal standard would apply. But you know what has been fascinating to watch over the last 24 hours is the near uniformity of lawyers that have said there's no illegality here.
I can give you Jonathan Turley. I know our colleague Greg Jarrett wrote about it. Alan Dershowitz wrote about it. It's nothing illegal in any of this.
Even Jeff Toobin yesterday said, oh, I don't know, could you look at some kind of FEC thing? Well, then he said, well, that would be a real stretch. He said that as he was on air.
Well, it was funny because I was watching you on the morning shows. By the way, it's very hard to watch you on CBS, ABC, and NBC at the end at the same time. What do you mean you're sorry? I have no. How did you pull that off?
So, because you're my friend, you know how it was a very early morning for me. And
Jay, you are on all three major networks at the same time. It's impossible.
Yeah, no, what happened was I literally taped them at 6:30, 6:15. I was live with George Stephanopoulos. The others were just taped moments before. And fortunately, we had a gracious host at ABC that allowed me to do it all out of there, which I appreciate.
Well, they kind of do that. I mean, to be perfectly honest, it's a very common practice when you know, when you're the hottest interview in the country and they really are competitive and you were the hottest interview in the country. Yeah. And let me ask you this then. Senator Grassley, I think rightly so, he wants to know why the Obama administration granted this Russian lawyer an immigration waiver, number one, you know, and special permission to be in the United States. Why is that?
Well, go figure that out. I mean, you know, how in the world did this happen? That this individual got a waiver after being denied. And what you're going to see in the days ahead, I suspect, is that this Magnitsky Act, which was what her real purpose and meaning was, that she was shopping that all over Washington, D.C.
So, but well, we actually have pictures of her with Democrats, don't we?
I'm hearing from friends of mine in the media that there are, or that there are videos of this, and that there's I haven't seen them, but there's a lot of people talking about that. Here's what it means to me. So you had a meeting that ended up being about nothing, for all pretense in a sense, to get the meeting. And at the end of the day, as the lawyer, what I have to look at is the legal issues surrounding it. And there's, as Dershowitz has said, as Turley has said, as Tubin reluctantly admitted but did, and others.
Well, we've got a picture. Jim Hoft over at Gateway Pundit, and I don't know if this is true. I haven't independently verified it, but I'm just reporting what he says. You know, she told NBC that she was not with the Kremlin. And as Don Jr. pointed out, okay, yeah, she did legal work in Russia back in 2002, as a prosecutor or some such thing. But, I mean, that's hardly recent. And then number three, and she confirmed her meeting and corroborated everything that Donald Trump said and that nothing was passed on. I mean, now in the case of Ukraine, we have just the opposite.
Yeah, so, you know, it's interesting because I pointed that out. I mean, all of the networks I was on this morning ran the interview that they did, whoever did it, with the lawyer Natalia in Moscow, where she said, no, wasn't a Russian government employee. I did not give information about the campaign. Don't know where that kind of came from. And she said it. And I pointed that back to the media, saying, wait a minute, you're playing this on your networks, saying this. So, you know, why is this so complicated to figure out what happened? It's not. So I think what we've had, Sean, is, look, in the heat of a campaign, meetings take place. The double standard on the Ukrainian situation is incomprehensible to anybody that looks at it for 5 minutes. By the way, that was as you pointed out, a piece in Politico in January.
By the way, information was exchanged. A meeting at the Ukrainian embassy did take place. The information was passed on to the Clinton campaign and the DNC. Now,
but I had a host. I think it was Chris Cuomo. I'm almost sure it was Chris because I was on some of them today. But I think it was Chris who said, "Well, that's different because that's the Ukraine and this is Russia." And there was here, of course, here there was no information that passed hands. There was. So, but this idea that somehow they can make the law fit the facts and create law that doesn't exist. But again, you know, I think the uniformity of today is this: that there was no illegality. I think Donald Trump Jr. explained himself very well yesterday with an honest, you asked probing questions, you asked real questions, he gave answers, and I think, you know, the media still wants to talk about it, that's fine, but the reality is the president's handling a lot of other things, as you know. I mean, there's a lot of other things going on in the world. I think he leaves tonight to go to France. So, I mean, there's a lot of things happening right now, and I am very pleased with where we are legally and how the situation unfolded yesterday. I thought for Donald Trump Jr., he did the right thing by getting the emails out.
How is it? All right, then answer this. How is it possible if influencing elections is so god-awful horrible that I think I might be the only person in the country that points out the Victory 15 campaign where Obama even used taxpayer dollars through the State Department to help unseat Benjamin Netanyahu. That's trying to influence a foreign election, or, you know, a foreign national, Christopher Steele and his ridiculous dossier, or the Uranium One deal kickback, a real Russia collusion story. I mean, why is it that in the Ukrainian issue, I am trying to understand for the life of me, except that everybody in the media and everybody in, that is a Democrat in Washington has gone stark, raving, insane and mad, and they have only one fixation. And that's to take out the president at any by any means necessary at this point, with as much collateral damage. And if it means Ivanka last week and Donald Trump Jr. this week, I guess Eric is the week after. They've already, you know, traumatized his 11-year-old son with the severed head. I mean, when does it ever end?
Well, I mean, here's the thing. I think the American people, a majority of the American people have had enough. They want the president to govern. They want issues to be addressed. We're on the threshold of a health care bill. You got Mitch McConnell making the Senate stay in session. I mean, you know, you and I know that it's not getting a lot of coverage, but having the Senate stay here into Washington, D.C. in August, let me tell you where they don't want to be in August, in Washington, D.C. So, I mean, there's a lot of things moving, and I think you're going to see tax reform come right after that. But, I mean, at the end of the day, this is, you know, today a lot of the focus of the media has been, frankly, on the FBI designate. Chris Wray, who did so far what I've seen, did a very good job of answering the questions. I think we'll have an easy confirmation, and it'll get some stability back into the FBI, and I think that's going to do very well for the country. So a lot of other things are happening as all this goes on.
All right, Jay, stay right there. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back more with Jay Sekulow, Chief Counsel, American Center for Law and Justice, Counsel to the President, and your calls coming up in our news roundup, Information Overload, also as we continue. All right, we continue. Jay Sekulow, Chief Counsel, American Center for Law and Justice, Counsel to the President. Rowan Scarborough has a great piece in the Washington Times from Tuesday, and he says, while the mainstream news media hunts for evidence of Trump-Russia collusion, the public record shows the Democrats have willfully used Moscow disinformation to influence the presidential election against Donald Trump and attack his administration. And then he points out the disinformation coming from this Russian-fed dossier written by, and by the way, he even paid for some of this phony information, by the former British intelligence agent Christopher Steele, and that's the one that contains these ridiculous charges of hookers and urinating in beds and the Ritz in Moscow, etc. But anyway, and then he points out that some Democrats have widely circulated the discredited information, and that he says Mr. Steele was paid for by the Democratic-funded opposition research firm Fusion GPS with money from a Hillary Clinton backer. And Fusion GPS distributed the dossier among Democrats and journalists, and the information fell into the hands of the FBI, and then Comey wanted to hire this guy, crying out loud. So the Democrats condemning the Russian election interference, and, you know, they're advancing all this fake news, phony news themselves.
Well, and here's the thing. I mean, I don't think we've even seen the tip of the iceberg on the Fusion GPS matter. I really don't. And then, of course, you've got the whole relationship between Fusion GPS and the Russian lawyer. Again, another link in the chain here. So there's a lot more to see on this. I think what we're seeing develop is that this was a, you know, look, at the end of the day, I go back to the legal issues, and there's not one. So, but there is a fundamental issue here with regard to this entire special counsel matter, and I think it's important to point this out. We know one thing for sure. James Comey leaked the information. That information was a series of private conversations he had with the President of the United States. He put it on his government computer in his government car, and as I said, took it out of his government desk, took it home with him, and then when he got terminated, he distributed this government memo to his friend at the Columbia Law School. The government's taking the position now that impact was not his personal property, as he asserted. He called it recollection recorded. They said, no, it's government property. So here you got James Comey sending out government property, violation of the criminal law. We know that. Okay, that's number one. Number two, he did it, he said, under oath for the sole purposes of obtaining a special counsel. The special counsel was appointed based on what? Evidence that was illegally leaked. And let me say one last thing on this, Sean. There's a privilege that you have when you walk in and you're head of the FBI with the President of the United States. It's called an executive privilege. And James Comey evidently didn't think 2 seconds about reaching that. And I think that's important for people to understand. He didn't think he did this. There was conversations with the President that covered under executive privilege. He went and leaked it to the press. Who does he think he's kidding here?
Unbelievable times we're living in. Jay Sekulow, I don't know how you did 3 morning shows at 7 a.m. and you're still on your feet. That means you got up at 5 and you did Hannity late last night. So God bless you. You sleep about as much as I do. All right, Jay. Appreciate it. 800-941-SEAN, toll-free telephone number if you want to be a part of the program.
Stay right here. for our final news roundup and information overload in the final hour of the Sean Hannity Show.
Let me go back to what Tim Kaine said. Well, if it is what you said, you're at, especially, you know, you'd want it released later in the summer. I think that's unusual for a campaign to want op research. And I'll get to the Ukrainian issue, which I think has been underreported, especially in light of this coverage. But
Like I said, I think we had more important things to worry about. I wasn't sure of the credibility of any of this stuff at the time. I'm sitting there. Indiana had just probably happened. You know, I'm worried about hearing a contested convention. So, you know, we're going to fight. This is the first time we've ever done any of this. This is, you know, I'm still way in the learning curve on all of this. So it wasn't that urgent to me if I'm saying, hey, it can wait till the end of summer. But, yeah, obviously you want to hear the information. I mean, that's what we do in business. If there's information out there, you want it, and then you make what you do with it. If there was something that came from it that was shady, if it was a danger to national security, I would obviously bring it right to someone. But I didn't know what anything was. Turns out it was nothing. And therefore, there's nothing to be able to actually talk about.
The whole contact took how long? How long was the meeting?
About 20 minutes or so.
About 20 minutes. And Jared left after 5 or 10?
Yes.
Like she said, and Paul Manafort was on his
phone.
The whole time.
Pretty much, it was pretty apparent that this was not what we were in there talking about.
A lot of people are going to want to know this about your father.
Mm-hmm.
Did you tell your father anything about this?
It was such a nothing. There was nothing to tell. I mean, I wouldn't have even remembered it until you start scouring through the stuff. It was literally just a wasted 20 minutes, which was a shame.
Let me ask a hypothetical, and I hate hypothetical questions, but I think it's relevant in this case.
Mm-hmm.
If the meeting resulted in information that you felt in any way was illegal,
mm-hmm.
or compromising, or collusion, to use the media's term?
I said it earlier, 100% I would bring it to the proper authorities. There's nothing that I would do to ever endanger this country. I think the reason we fought so hard during this campaign, whether it was my father and the work that he put into it, whether it was the rest of our family and the efforts that we put into it, and you know those efforts well, it's because we'd do anything for this country, so we're never going to put that in jeopardy, ever.
So this, as far as you know, are all the emails that exist on this case, and you don't think there's any other one?
I don't think there's anything else. We've scoured it thoroughly, just to be sure. But there isn't anything else there.
All right. And there was no follow-up. I think this is important. No follow-up with any of them. Never heard from the woman again.
It was such a nothing, there was no reason to follow up. It was a waste of time.
All right, News Roundup and Information Overload Hour, Sean Hannity Show, toll-free. Our telephone number is 800-941-SEAN. And that was from my interview with Donald Trump Jr. last night about a 20-minute meeting with somebody he'd never met before, didn't know who it was, except the email that said, well, they may have information on Hillary, and it may come from Russia. Okay, well, let's go back to what we have been talking about. And that is a huge double standard. And I go back to the political report. You know, when you print out the political report, it is 17 pages. It's all up on Hannity.com. You can take a look at the whole report. The headline, Ukrainian efforts to sabotage Trump backfires. Kiev officials scrambling to make amends with the president-elect after working to boost Clinton. What is the whole issue about as it relates to Russia-Trump collusion? Well, it's all about an outside influence, outside country, trying to influence the American people and assist a presidential campaign in an election. And as the Politico pointed out, nobody but for this show, and now people in the White House finally have picked up what we have been discussing. You know, most Americans don't know, and this is far more severe. It had far more consequences. There were real meetings that took place, real information that was passed on, and real efforts by a real government to unseat or prevent Donald Trump from ever becoming president and assist Hillary Clinton. There was real collusion here. And it goes on, Donald Trump was not the only presidential candidate whose campaign was boosted by officials of a former Soviet bloc country. We don't know that Donald Trump's campaign was boosted in any way, shape, matter, or form, because there's never been any evidence of it. And those emails don't prove a thing, except that Donald Trump Jr. was willing to listen if they had information about Hillary Clinton. That's it. That's all they've got. After 11 months of nonstop lying, nonstop conspiracy theories. Well, it goes on in this case. Ukrainian government officials did try to help Hillary Clinton undermine Trump. They publicly, in other words, they did things. We know the government did things. They publicly questioned his fitness for office. They also disseminated documents implicating Trump aides and corruption, suggested that they were doing investigations for the Clinton campaign, only to back away after the election. They bet on the wrong horse. And they, by the way, and it goes on in the Politico, they helped Clinton's allies research damaging information on Trump and his advisors. So in other words, they did these things that have been alleged about Donald Trump. and his campaign that were never proven. And the emails with Donald Jr. proved nothing, except that he was willing to listen if they had information. And everybody from the lawyer from Russia, who, of course, the Obama administration gave a waiver to come into the country, everyone forgets that little detail, they got nothing. She says it, Don Jr. says it, Jared Kushner says it, and Paul Manafort apparently was on his BlackBerry the whole time, or his iPhone the whole time. Then it goes on in the Politico. A Ukrainian-American operative consulting for the DNC met with top officials in the Ukrainian embassy. Where's Tim Kaine on this one? Where all the Democrats say, oh, we got to put this person under oath, because this is actual real meetings, collusion, and information passed on. Anyway, the DNC member met with top officials in the Ukrainian embassy in Washington in an effort to expose ties between Trump and Manafort and Russia, according to people with knowledge of the situation. I think they all need to be put under oath now. And the Ukrainian efforts had an impact in the race. Big difference. There's no evidence of any impact that Russia had in this race. Period. End of sentence. In advancing the narrative that Trump's campaign was deeply connected to Ukraine's foe to the East, Russia. But they were far less concerted or centrally directed than Russia's alleged hacking and dissemination of Democratic emails. Guccifer, by the way, put out a point that they think that, at least in the case of the WikiLeaks, the DNC emails, at this point, they reported, I don't know if it's true yet, but there are reports out there that this was all done domestically. There's never been any proof or any evidence. And the one person that knows the truth, Julian Assange, said, no, it was never Russia that passed on those emails to WikiLeaks. And it was no state that passed it on to WikiLeaks. Anyway, Russia's effort was, you know, they claim it was personally directed by Vladimir Putin. The only one that we know that gave Vladimir Putin something he wanted was Hillary. And that was 20% or up to 20% of America's uranium. And, of course, over $100 million goes back to the Clinton Foundation. Well, that's called bribery. Anyway, here to discuss and debate News Roundup Information Overload is Ron Christie, former special assistant to President Bush, columnist for Sidewire. Emily Shire is of the week. And Emily, welcome back to the program. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
So tell me what part of collusion didn't exist with the Clinton campaign, the DNC, and the Ukrainian government.
So your reference to the political report is a pretty wide mischaracterization, because there is zero evidence it was a top-down Ukrainian
government
effort.
All right, stop for a second. You can't say it's a mischaracterization of the article when I'm reading verbatim. I read it verbatim.
You're portraying it as this was a top-down, remotely equivalent affair to what in top intelligence.
I'll read directly.
Said about Russia.
A Ukrainian-American operative who is consulting for the DNC met with top officials in the Ukrainian embassy in an effort to expose ties between Trump, his campaign manager, and Russia. The Ukrainian efforts had an impact in the race, it goes on to say. And then more importantly, it goes further on to say that information was passed on to the DNC and to the Clinton campaign. Tell me how that's not collusion.
You're not describing accurately what our top U.S. intelligence officials say Russia did, which is that the best information we have available is that Vladimir Putin, from a top-down approach, personally directed intelligence agencies to expose information to hack the DNC and the Clinton campaign.
Okay, wait a minute. I will play our top intelligence officials all saying there's no evidence of collusion. Would you like me to play it for you?
I'm sorry, I'm actually not trying to be glib, confused about what you're trying to
say. You just got done saying that our top intelligence officials have been saying that, in fact, all these things happen and there's evidence of collusion between the Trump campaign and Russia.
What I'm saying is that we have top intelligence officials, including from James Clapper, who was nominated for his first major post, I may add, by George W. Bush, saying that it is from Russia. Quote, I don't think we've ever encountered a more aggressive or a direct campaign to interfere in our election process.
And James Clapper, what you're doing is you're mixing issues together here. James Clapper has said that there was no evidence of collusion between the Trump-Russian campaign. And then we have here, we know Ukrainian-Americans and this DNC operative work with the Ukrainian government for the very purpose of getting information, which they got, disseminating false information, trying to elect Hillary Clinton.
What we have is a case, this report focused on one Ukrainian-American, one person who spoke to officials at the Ukrainian embassy. This is
it was a DNC committee operative, for crying out loud. Ron Christie.
Good afternoon, Sean. You know, the hypocrisy here is just frightening. This whole case is designed by those on the left to try to take down the President of the United States on this trumped-up, no pun intended, notion that the campaign of the President of the United States colluded with the Russians. The only reason they came out with this narrative, Sean, as you and I both know so well, is to cover for the fact that Hillary Clinton lost in an embarrassing defeat, and they had to have some sort of excuse to explain how could she have lost. Oh, the Russians did it. But in this case, it's clear DNC operative goes to the Ukrainian embassy, meets with officials in an embassy of a foreign government, which directly, in my view, was an effort to try to undermine the election of Donald Trump. Plain and simple.
It's an open and shut case. There's no ambiguity here. Now the question, Ron Christie, begins, okay, we've heard 11 months only about one issue. So my question is, why isn't the media, why aren't all these Democratic senators and congressmen, why aren't they demanding the same thing they're demanding of the Trump campaign and people associated with Trump when there's far more evidence, as a matter of fact, incontrovertible evidence of collusion?
Well, the Democratic establishment and the media, in my view, are one and the same. And they'd never try to take one of theirs out. And they loathe the president. They loathe the fact that he uses Twitter to speak directly over them, to speak to the American people, and to articulate his message. And that doesn't play well with the establishment down here in Washington, Sean. They want to take him out because he doesn't play by their rules in the manner that they want him to act. And after 11 months, after countless investigations, they still have absolutely nothing. And to look at people like Tim Kaine, the senator from Virginia, and Adam Schiff, and some of these other people who are saying treason and crimes were committed, either they've never read the Constitution or they have no notion of criminal law. My favorite and the most brilliant law professor I had at GW is Jonathan Turley, who I know that you've had on your program. And he's a left-winger and says there's nothing there. They have to move on, and they can't move on because they've got nothing else, Sean.
We'll take a break. We'll come back more with Ron Christie and Emily Shire. We'll get to your calls as well. Last half hour of the program, 800-941-SHAWN is our number. All right, as we continue, Emily Shire and Ron Christie, News Roundup Information Overload Hour. You know, I don't even know what to say when I'm reading directly verbatim from the Politico article and Politico's investigation, all this evidence of the Ukrainian government, their involvement in this election, their meetings with DNC officials, their dissemination of false information, their attempt to influence the American people and elect Hillary and not Donald Trump. And you don't see any need to look into this at all when it's far more. It's such an example of more collusion than anything that's even been alleged with Donald Trump. And I just, you know what, I find all this sickening in terms of the political nature of all of this. Why can't you just be intellectually honest and say, yeah, at the very least, they both did it. But I don't see that Trump did anything that's been proven. Emily.
I mean, first of all, I'd like to point out you're accusing the media, and yet it was Politico, which has often been accused as either mainstream, which by default means left-wing, as the ones reported on it. It is not that this issue was ignored. It was reported out.
Okay, but you don't get Russia. You don't get Ukraine. You get one story, one narrative, one conspiracy theory with no evidence. Now we've got evidence here.
You just said it was 17 pages.
Okay, that was in January. How many thousands of hours have been spent on Trump and Russia with no evidence?
Because there's much more evidence that it was directed from a top-down Russian government official. And look, there can be...
What's the evidence? Tell Ron Christie what the evidence is. What is the evidence?
American person who spoke to a few people in the embassy, as opposed to the damning amounts of information and confirmation from our intelligence agencies that Russia played an active role and helping Trump win.
Wait a minute.
Does intelligence
exist? That's not true. I mean, you know,
let me play this.
Definitively answer the following question: whether there were improper contacts between the Trump campaign and Russian officials.
We did not include any evidence in our report, and I say our, that's NSA, FBI, and CIA with my office, the Director of National Intelligence, that had anything that had any reflection of collusion between members of the Trump campaign and the Russians.
All right,
no,
I can't play it all because we're running out of time, but Ron Christie, Clapper said it, Comey said it, Admiral Rogers said it, Brennan said it.
Obama said that the Russians had no bearing on the electoral integrity of our election. So the notion that this was stolen, that there was collusion, it's a false, made-up media narrative. There's not a ton of evidence out there. There's no evidence out there, not one. You can't name one official within the Russian government who met with anybody from the campaign to do anything to affect the election. It's just a made-up Democratic fantasy.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And the American people, you know what? You see the double standard? It can't be any more flagrant than what it is now. It's just pathetic. They're so dishonest. They're so ideological. They're so morally bankrupt and corrupt. It's disgusting. Yeah, all that too. 800-941-SEAN, toll-free telephone number. Ron Christie, thank you. Emily Shire, thank you. We'll take a break. When we come back, wide open telephones. We'll get to your calls, your comments, your intuitive insight, and whatever else is on your mind next. All right, 25 till the top of the hour, 800-941-SEAN. You want to be a part of the program. All right, as promised, let's get to our busy telephones. We have Bob is in Mount Pleasant, I believe in New Jersey. What's happening, Bob? Welcome to the all-new AM 710 WOR. What's going on?
Good afternoon, Mr. Hannity. This is an absolute absolute honor to be speaking to a gentleman of your stature. Bottom line is I want to commend you on two fronts. The first front is the way you fought back against the media, against the left-wing idiots, for a lack of a better term, that came after you and tried to jeopardize the Sean Hannity show.
I got to thank the audience and all of you that supported me and supported, you know, the groups like, you know, Media Equalizer came to my defense and so many, and really the people this program did. And right. And honestly, this hasn't been the first time. It was probably the hardest, but it won't be the last time. There's a real effort to silence conservative voices. And, you know, if people don't help me, I can't win. I really can't.
Tip of the cap, sir. Tip of the cap. And when you do speak to Mr. Sekulow, if he's listening, watched his rounds early this morning, did a fantastic job. I was talking to the screener previously, and you know, from an optics standpoint, and I'm sure you would agree, and Junior would agree, it doesn't look good. But that's you know what, big deal. Rookie mistake. Chalk it up. Bottom line is this: from a legal standpoint, you hear constitutional attorneys like Jonathan Turley going on. Fake news channel says no crime has been committed. Various other constitutional, no crime has been committed. So let's just get that off the table. The bottom line is this, Mr. Hannity, and you can get the word out there. Trump needs a seasoned veteran in that White House. And a name that comes to mind certainly is your buddy Gingrich, okay? But I like him on the outside. I like him going to the ABCs, the NBCs, the other news outlets. To get that point across, it's just as important on the outside as he would be in the inside. But I want a seasoned veteran in there. Would that be assigning rights previous to another position? Possibly. But you know what? A seasoned veteran, somebody with tenure, a name I'll throw out there is a Sununu. Okay, I've seen him on the airwaves. Does a fine job. A guy that has served in a multitude of administrations that can right the ship because the leaks are coming from within. And now, are they Obama's holdovers? Who knows? But, I hate to speculate, but I think they're coming from somebody that is close to Trump, and I'll let you cross the T's and dot the I's.
Let me just say this. I'm not there at the White House. You know, you read about infighting and leaking, and there's way too much of it from my perspective, and I've actually told people when I talk to them that it's got to stop. The infighting's got to stop. The leaking's got to stop. The focus has got to be on fulfilling the promises the president made to the American people and advancing his agenda. That's why, all right, Mitch McConnell says they're going to delay their little vacation. Fine, it's a good start, but it's no good if they don't get the job done. So until they actually fulfill the promises, I'm skeptical. I'm not that confident. Now, on the issue of bringing other people in, I actually do agree with you. I think Newt would be the perfect legislative liaison to move the agenda forward. And with all due respect to Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell, they're not getting the job done to my satisfaction or any conservative that I know's satisfaction. So These guys need to get their ass in gear and get moving and have a sense of urgency to serve the country. By the way, their own futures are contingent on them doing this, because you can't not get health care done after you promised it since 2010 and ran on it since 2010 and then expect to get elected in 2018 when you have the House, the Senate, and the White House. So if they want to be stupid and pay a political price, then good. Don't get it done. Be lazy. You know, be against the president. Do whatever you're going to do. Now, the only other thing that I'll say on this issue is maybe Mike Huckabee needs the help on the communications front. I mean, these are things that they could do from the outside and organize because they're just seasoned professionals. I prefer those that have the kind of experience that somebody like Newt Gingrich played. You know, so we'll see. Anyway, 800-941-SHAWN is our number. Let's get back to our phones. All right, let's go to Don in Los Angeles, California, KEIB. What's up, Don? How are you? We're glad you called, sir.
Oh, thank you. Love you, Sean. Love the show. I'm a huge fan of Jay Sekulow. You know, but boy, I really disagree on a lot of this Trump stuff. The only way we can really hit back at the Democrats, and it should be easy, because everything they say against Trump reflects right back on them. If they like investigations, great. Let's investigate Hillary. Let's investigate the leakers. Let's.
By the way, you sound more like James Earl Jones than anybody else that's ever called this program.
This is CNN.
Now, I'm not the first person to tell you that, am I?
No, you're not.
How many people have told you? It's uncanny to me.
Gosh, I hear it quite a lot. Yeah, I actually talked to a guy that gave him his first, I cast him for his first TV job. The second job, he had a role. The next thing, he was starring in the whole damn thing. So I've been hearing it for a while. I mean, I clearly missed my calling in life. But
I'm going to tell you something. James Earl Jones has the best set of pipes I've ever heard.
Maybe I'm his illegitimate son. I don't know. I'm from that side of the family they don't talk about.
Stop. All right. Now, listen, I would say this to you. Yeah, and I've heard a lot of liberals make it, well, the Ukraine is our friend, not our enemy. Wait a minute.
Which is true.
They're not our friend if they're trying to pick winners and losers in our election.
Well, wait a minute, Sean.
Hang on a second. If they're helping Hillary Clinton and they're undermining Trump and they're doing op research for the Clinton campaign and the DNC and they're putting out false stories on one presidential candidate, they are trying to undermine our election process just as much as the Russians, quote, allegedly tried. And I have not seen the evidence that has been proven yet.
Okay, well, the answer to that is what they're saying about Trump is because they know about his connection with Manafort and with the president they kicked out of Ukraine. They're our ally. You know, we try to influence elections. We've been doing it ever since the Cold War to promote democracy in most cases, not in Obama's case against Israel. That's wrong, too. But for us to have equity, we have to have clean hands. And there's no question.
But wait a minute. The whole thing is collusion to defeat Hillary. That's what the whole phony black helicopter.
Not for me.
Okay, but I'm only saying to you, it doesn't matter, friend or foe, if you're trying to influence America's.
It doesn't matter, friend or foe. Of course it does.
Well, it's okay if the Ukraine, just because they're friendly to us, are trying to influence our elections. Wrong. I disagree.
Yeah, Israel tries to influence our elections. We try to influence theirs. We try to influence everybody.
But
you're acting, Sean.
I'm saying that no, but if we're taking the position that influencing or impacting or trying to impact American elections, and in the case of the Ukrainians, are disseminating false information to the American people, and that's a nice way of saying they're lying.
Well, how do you know it's false?
Because we know it's false.
Well, we know
the information that they put out.
I haven't heard that from Trump yet. All I've heard is how much he wants to get along with them because of his business.
Well, all we heard from the Clinton campaign was we're going to have a Russian reset, and Hillary gave 20% of our uranium to that idiot.
Exactly, and that's wrong. But you know what? They say the same thing you say. They say that's not illegal. It's wrong, but it's not illegal. The Iranian deal is the
worst
thing ever, but it's illegal.
You can't give me any evidence of Russian collusion with the Trump campaign. I'll give you all the time you need. Go.
I haven't seen. First of all, let's let the election play out. As far as collusion.
No, collusion.
Okay, what's your definition of collusion?
All right, give me
what
any.
What do you accept as evidence?
We know
Putin's our enemy.
Don, you're slow down. I'm asking you a specific question because I just gave repeatedly on this program today specific evidence of the Ukrainians colluding with the DNC, a paid DNC staffer, information passed on to the Clinton campaign and the DNC. Give me an example.
Everything I've heard from Trump, the only thing I can go by is what I get on the media. I'm not in the FBI. I'm not an investigator. All I know is all I hear from him is apologizing, saying this dumb idea about how we should cooperate with Putin. That's like the police cooperating with the mafia for the cybersecurity. That's insane. It's like I'm not an investigator. Let's let the investigation play
out. But the bottom line is I can give you evidence that is corroborated, confirmed, and incontrovertible that the Ukrainians tried to influence, lied to the American people and propagandize them. But you can't give me any evidence after 11 long months of nonstop conspiracy theories of Trump-Russia collusion. You know, you sound like, let me play Jake Tapper and Brian Williams and Andrea Mitchell, all unaware in the case of Mitchell and Williams that the Ukrainians are helping Hillary Clinton, or Jake Tapper, it doesn't matter because she lost. Yes, it does if they're trying to manipulate us.
Andrea Mitchell, I said earlier, no public events for 3 days on the president's calendar. He leaves tonight for Paris for Bastille Day celebrations. What we've heard from the president again 3 minutes ago on Twitter, I'm hoping you can help me decipher this. Why aren't the same standards placed on the Democrats, period? Look what Hillary Clinton may have gotten away with. Disgraceful. You want to take a whack at that?
I'm trying to figure it out myself. Earlier he called it a witch hunt, so he's still on the fake news or what the Democrats are doing, that combo. Perhaps this is a reference to email, since his son voluntarily tweeted out a whole email chain. Nobody was forcing him to do that other than the questions that were raised by the New York Times, and they said that they were about to reveal them themselves. So he voluntarily released his email, so perhaps it's an email reference, but it's hard to figure out what this is about.
You know, if we're going to do this, what about the Ukrainian government and Alexandra Chalupta, who was a Clinton aide, who worked
with the
Ukraine?
She was a consultant to the Democratic National Committee.
She was the liaison with the Ukrainian government, giving information
about Donald Trump.
Paul Manafort.
Hillary Clinton lost.
It doesn't matter if we're talking
matter because the Chalupta thing is nothing like this.
But if we're talking about U.S. Code 531, which is what they're saying, that Trump got something of a value, did the Clinton campaign
Ukrainians
not
offering
well?
Information about what Paul Manafort did in Ukraine is not the same thing as this.
All that does matter, doesn't it?
But Trump is president. He's the one with his finger on the button. He's our commander-in-chief.
Okay,
right?
give me an example of any collusion.
What do you call? What's your definition of collusion?
Oh, come on, Don. Give me an example. Give me an example with the Trump campaign colluded with the Russians, and the Russians did anything. What did they do? Now, we know that the Russians tried to influence the election, but it's no different than what they've done. And testimony from our intelligence officials said they've done it in past elections. They did it in this election, and they'll do it in future elections.
Undermined us since the Soviet Union exists.
Okay, but the Ukrainians are doing the same thing, and we have evidence of it.
Well, what do you call this? What is your definition of collusion?
Did the Trump campaign collude with Russia, for example, on the email leak to WikiLeaks? We have no evidence that took place, except that Julian Assange, the one guy that knows, told me multiple times, no, it wasn't Russia.
Oh, great. Okay, fine. So Julian Assange is our guy now. Great.
Julian Assange and WikiLeaks hasn't been wrong in 11 years. You can't name one time they've ever gotten their facts wrong, because it doesn't exist. They've never been proven wrong.
I'm not that big of a fan of Julian Assange.
It doesn't matter. It's a fact. They've never been proven wrong.
Okay, so what is your definition of collusion? What would it take for you to admit that Trump is in bed?
Okay, I'll give you an example. What the Ukrainians did by meeting with the paid DNC staffer and putting out false information and doing op research on Trump, the way the Ukrainians did in this campaign, that's collusion with the DNC and with the Hillary campaign. That's collusion.
Then go along against that. Investigate that, too. If that's wrong, put her in jail. But guess what? They might be in the same cell with Trump. How about that?
Okay, but Don, the only difference between my argument and yours is you don't have any facts to back up what you're saying.
Well, I'm not an investigator. I'm not the FBI.
But then Don, I love you, but if you don't know the truth, then stop speculating here. The Ukrainian, you know, remember the political story, Ukrainian sabotage of Trump backfired. I've got the article. I've gone through it in all of its detail. Kiev officials scrambling to make amends with the president-elect after working to boost Hillary Clinton. And it's on my website. Go look at Hannity.com. The whole article's up there, all 17 pages of it.
Did I hear you say Russia's our enemy, Putin's our enemy?
I don't trust Vladimir Putin as far as I could throw him.
Okay, is he our enemy, yes or no? You asked me a question? Okay.
I think Vladimir Putin is an enemy of the United States. Yes, I believe he is out for his own interests.
I love you, man, but okay, we agree on that. That's progress.
All right, James Earl Jones calling in on the Sean Hannity. You know you sound like James, right?
That's it.
Can I ask you a question? You need to make money with this voice. How old are you, if you don't mind me asking?
Oh, I'm way over 21. I remember when the Dodgers came to L.A.
Okay, you can still make money with that voice. Go out and make money. Look for a big voiceover company and see if you can't make money.
Good deal. I'll be your stunt double.
You don't sound like me. I wish I sounded as good as you.
God love you. Hey, I'll be your voice double.
Oh, my God.
Love you, Sean.
All right, my friend. God bless you. Why am I so frustrated? I feel like I'm it's so hard to argue with people on the left sometimes. But he's such a nice guy. What a set of pipes. Wow. It's like Scott Shannon. Hannity, it's me, Shannon. You're sounding great. Hannity, it's me, Shannon. No, you got to get to the issue. You got you and Linda arguing way too much. All right, Hannity, tonight, 10 Eastern, Fox News Channel. All right, all that the left is saying about Trump, Russia, collusion, Donald Jr., guess what? It applies to Ukraine. It applies to Obama meddling in Israel's elections. It applies to Chris Steele and the phony dossier. We'll have all the details tonight, 10 Eastern, Hannity, Fox News. We got Newt Gingrich tonight. Kellyanne Conway will join us tonight. Greg Jarrett, Geraldo Rivera, 10 Eastern. Don't miss it. Hannity, Fox. Thanks for being with us. Back here tomorrow.